Open your Bibles here this morning. We're going to start in Isaiah and end up in Proverbs here this morning. The title of my message this morning is Come, Let Us Reason Together. Come, Let Us Reason Together. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1 here this morning. And it says these words in verse 16 and following. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 and following. Wash you, make you clean, put away your evil of your doing from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we have your word before us, Lord, thy word is truth. And Father, we are your servants and the people of truth. And Father, we pray that you would guide us here today by your Holy Spirit. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that sealed us under the day of redemption. And Father, the Spirit of truth that illuminates your word to our hearts. So Lord, pray the Holy Spirit would move in each heart. Help me be a vessel, honors your Son, the Lord Jesus, and honors your word, the living word of God. So Lord, bless us toward this end and help me to honor you. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wash you, make you clean. Are you glad people take a shower? Have you ever met somebody that missed a few showers? I met a guy, I used to work with a guy one time. I was at the shop, and I was way on the other side of the shop. When he came through that door, it was like your eyes started watering. I was like, whoa. You know, this guy had missed a few showers along the way. And, washing is important. And we can tell when somebody doesn't take their bath and cleanse themselves. Washing is important. There was a fellow named Samuels. And he was a Hungarian man back in 1818. And he was a doctor. And he observed something that he got ridiculed. He got harassed. They actually disbarred him from the university at one point that he was at. And his point of view and his what he recommended that the medical community do was wash their hands before they saw a patient. And they laughed at him. They said, thousands of years we never had to wash our hands. And some Hungarian doctor isn't going to make us start washing our hands. But he said, look, he says, what did he do? He washed his hands in iodine before he saw a patient. And his patients, after seeing like 8,000 of them or so, their infection rate went way down. I mean, they were living. And all these other doctors were seeing patients and they're washing, and the infection rate was so huge, they were dying left and right. And he said, all you got to do is wash your hands. It makes it, I don't understand it. This is like 1818. I don't understand it, but it works. And they laughed at him. Now, is it good to wash your hand in these COVID days? Have they ever told you to wash your hands? Okay, yes, it's well known you should wash your hands. But have you ever thought about washing the inside? We know to wash the outside. That makes good medical sense. But how about washing the inside? What does it say here in Isaiah? Verse 16, wash you, make you clean. Wash you, make you clean. It implies we have some responsibility on the inside. And God's not talking about, when he says, wash you, to go wash your hands. He's not talking about washing your hands. But he's talking about on the inside. Who are you on the inside? Now, as we travel this world, is there a lot of stuff coming at us 24/7 that's unclean? Do you know what I'm saying? Is there a lot of stuff that's unclean? Now, there could be images, but it could be things that are just untrue. Now, I'm going to read some things to you, and I want you to tell me three things here at first and then a fourth thing. I'm going to read three things, and after each thing, tell me if this is true or false. Books write themselves without an author, true or false? Okay. Cars make themselves without a manufacturer, true or false? Okay. We're doing great. Oh, man, I got some intelligent people here this morning. Okay. Music compositions write themselves without a composer, true or false? The universe made itself without a creator. Who says that's true? Everybody. Now, when God says wash you, you ever wash yourself of things that aren't true? Well, what if somebody comes to you and says evolution says time plus chance equals everything? Do you just grab that and go down the merry way? Or is that false? Do you have to wash yourself of things that are unclean like that? Sure you do. What if something like that gets embedded in your spirit and you start chewing on that? What would that do to your Christian life if somebody says there is no God, there is no reason for anything, everything's time and chance? What would that do to your Christian life? All right, you go right down. So we've got to wash ourselves, but it's things that are untrue, things that are lie of the evil one. Wash you, make yourself clean, verse 16. Because there's a lot of untruth out there. A lot of untruth. And we've got to be ever so careful. Winston Churchill said this, "Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened." Now think about that for a minute. Is that true or not? Have you ever witnessed to somebody and gave them the truth saying, you need to repent, believe the gospel, get saved. If you don't, you're going to die and go to hell. And they rush off as if you never told them anything. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. I mean, Tim and I, the other day, I gave a tract when we were loading up his trailer to a guy that dropped some stuff off. And I said, sir, can I give you something to read? It tells you about how you know that when you die, you go to heaven. He goes, I want the thing. Just that quick. It was just like, boom. He didn't want that. I was like, whoa, what a reaction so quick. That's the truth, but he just stumbled over and picked himself up and went right on his merry way. But do we do that as God's people? No. If you have truth coming at you, you got to embrace it. If it's not truth, you got to want to wash yourselves of it. Now, here are some spiritual challenges we may face as God's people to wash ourselves. I am going to get to Proverbs here this morning. Just rest here. I'm getting there. This is a little kind of introductory stuff here. Spiritual challenge for us. Now, there was a survey taken, and the results of the survey, they said, what is your spiritual challenge? And these were, I don't know how big a survey it was, I'm not sure of some of those details, but within this survey in Discipleship Journal, they ranked them. These are spiritual challenges that people said. Materialism was a spiritual challenge. Now, you can have a nice car, it runs fine, you're happy with it, and you see some advertisement about some new kind of car, and all of a sudden you look at your car that you're happy with in the morning, and in the evening you're not what? Very happy with it. Now, what did the advertisement do to you? It made you discontent with what you once were content with, hoping that you're discontent enough to go out and buy their new car. You see how they work? Can materialism be a challenge? Sure it can. The second thing in that survey was pride. First, materialism, pride in people's lives. And I had a preacher one time says, how many folks out there are humble? So people start putting their hand up. And as soon as they got their hand by the floor, he said, and you're proud of it. And everything went like this, you know. He set them up, you know. But pride is an issue because, yeah, it's in the heart of man. We're all sinners. Materialism, pride, self-centeredness. Some people said that's a spiritual challenge for them. They don't think about others. Think about themselves. Laziness. Is that a spiritual issue, laziness? Sure it is. How about anger and bitterness? Is that a spiritual challenge? Sure it is. How about sexual lust? Is that a spiritual challenge? Sure it is. Envy, gluttony, lying, all spiritual challenges. What does God say here? Verse 16 of Isaiah, wash you, make you clean. Now, I will say this. Turn to Psalm 51 here for a minute, and then we'll come back here to Isaiah, and then we'll get to Proverbs. Psalm 51 here for a moment. David wrote Psalm 51. This is his confession of sin after Bathsheba. And verse 2, this is what he cried out. Now, In Isaiah, it says, wash you. But here, David says, wash me. Okay, he's looking to God. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Now, if we repent of our sins, does God forgive us? If we genuinely repent of our sins, does he forgive us? I think it's pretty weak out there. If we confess our sins, does he generally forgive us?
Yes,
he forgives us. Good. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will wash us thoroughly from our iniquities. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 51. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and he's looking to God to wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, David wanted a clean heart. Now, if you're guilty, you've sinned against God, and you confess your sins, God says he'll take your sins and cast them into the depth of what? The sea. Will he remember your sins against you anymore? No. Isn't that a great God? Isn't that a great God to forgive us and cleanse us? But once we are forgiven and cleansed, guess what he wants us to do? And see, once we're forgiven and cleansed, in verse 16 of Isaiah, wash you, make you clean. Okay, God cleans us. Now, when the disciples walked in sandals and in Bible times, their feet would get dirty, and they go into homes, they want to get placed dirty. So what would they do in a home, they would wash their what? Feet. They travel in the world to get their feet dirty. As you travel in this world, can you get dirty and pick up things of the world? Does it cling to you? Do you know what I'm saying? And it does. It's just part of who we are, just our sin nature and the world we live in. We can get dirty. But God wants us to wash ourselves, to make ourselves clean. Take spiritual inventory, the spiritual challenges we face. Okay, with that being said, go to Proverbs here. That's all that was background. Because in Proverbs, these are gold nuggets of how to cleanse yourself. These are little steps along the way. Now, if you were hanging on a chain from a cliff, I don't know how to make this, but I think you'll understand what I'm trying to communicate here. If you're hanging from a chain on a cliff and you're trying to get up out of this dangerous situation, which link is the most important to you?
Everyone.
Okay? Not one link is not important. Do you see what I'm saying? And so which proverb is not important? Well, they're all important. It's like a link in a chain. You're holding on to it in your spiritual life, and you don't want to let it go. So what you want to do is look at each one of these and see how they apply to you if there's an area of your life that has a spiritual challenge. So with that being said, verse 7. These help us to wash ourselves. Excellent speech becomes not a fool. It's not part of a fool. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. In other words, a foolish person won't have excellent speech. Much less do lying lips to a prince. It doesn't belong there. Now, I will say this about that word fool there. That's not intellectual deficiency, although in our time that foolishness often takes that component. In that word there, it also has a moral application to it. It's somebody that's immoral, impure, ungodly, morally too, in that sense. So when it says they're a fool, it's not just a fool intellectually. They can't comprehend something or they make poor choices. It's also a moral component to it too. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. In other words, a foolish person. So if you want to cleanse yourself, watch who you listen to. Because if somebody is making bad jokes, I was at a job site one time, and this was my friend Jerry, and this guy came up and started telling us a dirty joke. Jerry's a Christian, I was a Christian, and he got the punchline, and he just roared in laughter. And Jerry and I just stood at him, looked at him like this. We didn't crack one laugh. And his laughter kind of died off, and I said, is that what your pastor teaches you to do? That's what I'd rather tell him. I didn't know if this guy was church or unchurch. I just said, is that what your pastor teaches you? He goes, no. And then he just kind of wandered off, you know, but he realized he didn't have an audience there. Well, that was foolish speech. And guess what? I wasn't going to give an ounce to that because I knew where the joke was going, and I didn't want to play along with it. And I didn't want to get involved in his foolishness because as believers, we should have excellent speech. If you don't have excellent speech and watch your words and what you say, if you're not washing yourself and your mouth, and things are coming out of your mouth that aren't Christian and Christ-like, you're behaving like a fool or a foolish person. And so when it comes to our mouth, much less do lying lips, a prince. Now, a prince would be somebody in authority, somebody that carries a position of honor, somebody that has in society a place of respect. But what if they're a liar? Do you like people to lie to you? Have people ever deceived you? I've had people lie to me. Just bold-faced lie. And I find out later, I said, that person lied to me. I don't like it. How does God feel about liars? Does he like them? What does God say in the book of Revelation will happen to all liars? They shall have their part in what? The lake of fire. Absolutely. I think as a Christian, lying and a Christian should never go together. Would you agree with me? Because God is a God of what? Truth. And lying and truth don't go together. But what's worse, if you have a position of authority and you're lying, then the people under you are caught in a dilemma. Because they are to respect somebody in authority, but if you're lying to them and you're telling them something that's true and not true. Now, how do you know something is true or not? Well, it's got to be based on reality or based on the Word of God and the revealed revelation of God. How do you know something's true or not true? If it's not based on reality, it didn't happen. Or if it's not based on God's Word, it's not true. It's a lie. But the dilemma comes in, what if somebody in position of authority like a prince lies and they're telling you to do this or that or make this decision because they're giving you false information? Who do we ultimately answer to as believers? God. We ultimately answer to God. And if somebody in authority is lying over here, and they, okay, I'll give you an example. What if you are under a government system that says you cannot teach your children the Christian faith? You cannot convert them. You cannot read the scriptures to them. What should you do as a Christian family? Should you just throw your Bible away and not teach your children about God? Who gives you the final authority to teach your children? The state or God? God does. Men are to obey God rather than what? Men. So there comes a point now, and conscience steps into here in some areas. But there is a point that if you have a lying prince and they're lying to you and they're telling you things to do things that aren't true according to God's word, then God's word trumps what they say. But what you want to do is watch out for lying lips. Are they everywhere? Now, I read this, and I'll share what I read. I'm not sure if I, but anyway, there's a PhD fella who got his degree in washing machine technology because he wanted to be a spin doctor on CNN. That's what I read, okay? Some of y'all understand what I'm talking about, okay? Did it make sense? But I think it's a point across. Some people are spin doctors, but what are they ultimately doing? They're what? Lying. If they're not telling you the truth, they're lying. And all liars one day shall have their part in the lake of fire. And as God's people, we never go there because we represent Him. And God doesn't lie, and neither should His people. And lying lips should never be part of us. Verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now, all these are nuggets of truth of how to wash ourselves, make ourselves clean. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Okay, how does that work? Well, first off, if you're a believer, has God forgiven you of your sins? Okay, you're forgiven. What does He expect from us once we are forgiven to other people? Forgive others. If we can't forgive others, God says, well, if you can't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. Where do I get the power to forgive? Is it totally within me? Or does God's love and truth and word flow through me to help me forgive others? God gives me the strength. Because some people really hurt people.
really bad. And love covers a transgression. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. In other words, in the relationship. Now, there's different levels of transgressions. Now, I'm going to ask both sides here. Men, has your wife ever done anything to get you upset? Yes or no? Wives, have your husbands ever done anything to get you upset? Yes or no? I think some of y'all are afraid to say anything. Okay. I have done things to get Nancy upset. Now, you may not believe this, but she's done some things to get me upset. But yes, it does happen in any home. Okay. We can have a heart for God, but we got feet of clay. Is that true? Yes. But what do we have to do to some people that do something to us that wound us? If you want to have a good relationship with each other, what do? Some things you just cover in love. Just forget about it. They said something I didn't like, but maybe they didn't understand what they said. Have you ever got your jumble all worded up? Do you know what I'm saying? You ever got your jumble all worded up? I mean, your words all jumbled up. Do you know what I'm saying? And we do that sometimes. But in the Christian life, sometimes it's good just to cover it in love. Just let it go. Just cover it in love and move on. Because sometimes they'll never understand how they offended you. They just don't understand. But that's okay. Because sometimes I've offended God, and I don't even understand how I've offended him. You know what I'm saying? I've done things against God. I'm not even aware of it. David prayed, Lord, don't let presumptuous sins have dominion over me. That's sins that are called high-handed sins. And yet, David's saying, a man of God's heart, don't let them have dominion over me. You know, David wanted a heart that was right with God. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Ultimately, herein you should be known of you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. It all starts with loving each other and covering transgression. But he that repeateth a matter separates very friends, separates people. He that repeats a matter. Now, if something that's been covered over, what happens if somebody keeps bringing it up again and again and again? It's like one man in a counseling session told the counselor, when we get in a fight, my wife gets historical. And the counselor said, you mean hysterical? No, he said historical. She keeps repeating the same thing over and over and over again. The history just keeps going on and on and on. You know, sometimes don't keep repeating the matter. If it's been forgiven and it's been covered in love, let it go. Because it never is going to get better. And you just got to let it go sometimes. But that's covering in love, and that's taking the high ground. Because the way you forgive other people is the way God's going to work in your life. As you do unto others, it's how it's going to be done unto you. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. He that repeateth a matter separates very friends. Verse 10, a reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes or strokes into a fool. What does that mean? A reproof. Okay. Has your boss ever told you, don't do that again? Has your boss ever told you that? Don't do that again. That's a reproof. In other words, hey, what you did is wrong. I don't want you to do that again. Reproof is more than a correction. It's a very stern instructions. Don't do this. Now, if you're a wise person or a person of understanding, now, when it says a reproof enters more into a wise man, a wise person has skill in living. A wise person is able to put the pieces together. A wise man takes knowledge and understanding and brings it together to wisdom. So when you hear a reproof, don't do this again. God reproves you. Now, can God's word reprove us? Absolutely, it can speak to us. A reproof enters more into a wise man. Now, if you have a heart and you're yielded to God, God first wants you to have a yielded heart. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Okay? That's a yielded heart. God says, this is how you live the Christian life. You're washing yourself. You're wanting to be clean here. A foolish person hears a rebuke, 100 stripes into, you know, some people you can tell them and 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 they don't get it. Now,
They have this law for criminals, three strikes and you're out. You ever heard of that law? Okay, three strikes and you're out. Some people just don't get it. You know, society can say you can't break into your neighbor's house and steal their items. Okay, they let them out after so long, and then they do it again, and they do it again, and they do it again. And finally says, you're done. You're staying in prison. That's a foolish person. They don't get it. They've been rebuked, but they don't get it. Part of washing yourself clean is understanding if God rebukes me, I got to embrace that rebuke and don't do it again. A reproof enters more into a wise man. So if you want to know if somebody's wise, they get it. When you tell them, they get it. A foolish person, over and over, they hear it, but they don't change. You can beat them 100 times, never affected them. Cleansing ourselves, verse 11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent after him. When I read that verse, you know who I think about in the Old Testament? I think about King Saul. And he tried to get David. And what did God give to King Saul? An evil spirit, what? Tormented him. Now, if you want to be an evil person, do you have a free will? Sure, you can be an evil person. But I guarantee you this, the way of the transgressor is hard. If you go down that road, it's not going to go well with you. Because you have society, you have God and his righteousness, and it's not going to go well with you. A cruel messenger, whoever that may be. Now, in Romans 13, can the state be a cruel messenger against an evildoer? In Romans 13, what does that passage deal with? The role of what? The power of who? The government. The power of the government to punish who? Evildoers. And God says in Romans 13 that the government is his messenger to punish evildoers. What is going to be your messenger? If you're an evil person and rebellion against authority, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. You reap what you sow. Now, as far as cleansing ourselves, watch who you hang around with. Look at verse 12. Let a bear robbed of her cubs or whelps meet a man. Now, I've heard stories. I've never had this experience, but you got a mother bear over here and her cubs over here, and you walk between them. What happens? It's not good, is it? Oh, it's not good. That's what I understand. I don't want to have that. Do you want to have that happen to you? I don't. But you know what the Bible's saying here? It's better that that happens to you than to meet a man in his folly, a fool in his folly. Now, who do you hang around with? What kind of people? Are they wise people of God? Should a man pick his friends carefully? Do your friends influence you? You ever heard the saying, you've run in with the wrong crowd? You ever heard somebody say, you're running with the wrong crowd? It's not good. To meet a bear and her cubs and get between them is better than get involved with a fool and his folly. Because once you get hooked up with the wrong people, they can take you down a wrong road pretty quick. And you don't want that to happen to you. Whosoever rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Again, these are nuggets here. Chain link. How do I cleanse myself? Rewardeth evil for good. Now, Bible says, don't return evil for evil, but return what? Good for evil. Whoso rewardeth evil for good. In other words, somebody does you good and you do them wrong. It's not good. You don't overcome evil with evil, but you overcome evil with good. See, does a man reap what he has sown? Does that law still work? Is that still in effect? Absolutely still in effect. It says, evil shall not depart from his house. Do you want a righteous house? Don't return evil for good. Now again, is the Christian life easy or hard?
Thank you. Yes. Not a trick question. Believe me, it's not a trick question.
It's hard, but why is it hard? Well, we live in a cursed world. And when people do you wrong, if somebody strikes you, what's your first impulse? You want to hit them back. Can anybody identify with that? Or am I the only guy that feels like that? Do you know what I'm saying? That's how you feel. But then you think, well, is that how Christ would have me do it? Then all of a sudden you think again. What would Jesus do? Is this what he would do? And we don't want to get to the place where we're rewarding evil for good or rewarding evil for evil. But God wants us to be where we're rewarding good for evil. See, that's how you know you're cleansing yourself. Where there's been regeneration, there is sanctification. Where there's regeneration, there's sanctification. If there's no sanctification, probably there's no regeneration. In other words, if a person's saved, their life is going to change. And if their life hasn't changed, they may not be saved. But everybody's on this progressive sanctification. Some of us are farther than others. But you should be making some progress. And in what areas you're dealing with, you should be concerned about. The first thing is, I remember one fellow got saved. First week he was saved, he went back to his pastor. And he told me the story. He told his pastor, he said, "I have never cursed so much in my whole life this week." And his pastor said, this is right after he got saved. Pastor said, "This is the first time you're hearing how you've cursed. Because the Holy Spirit's helping you hear what you never heard before." And I thought, wow, that's good stuff. Because that sanctification is starting to kick in. And that's his spiritual growth starting to grow. God wants us to grow. Don't return evil for good or evil for evil, but return good for evil. That's how you know you're on the Christian life. Verse 14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it meddleth with. How can you paraphrase that? Don't start an argument when you don't need to start an argument. Do you know what I'm saying? If everybody's okay, don't bring up something that you know is going to be contentious or strifeful. The beginning of strife is one to let out water. I remember years ago when my children had a pool and I was working on it, and it was one of these inflatable pools that the sides that fill up full of air, and you fill it up. Maybe it's like 10 feet across. Maybe it wasn't a little one. And I pushed down on the side, and I was getting in and out of it or something. Anyway, I pushed it down, and guess what happened? That water started rolling out, and I couldn't stop it, okay, because the weight pushed the thing down. All of a sudden, that emptied the whole thing across the yard, and I couldn't get it up fast enough. That pool emptied. That didn't work, so I get the garden hose out and fill it back up again. But to me, when I read that verse, you know, sometimes you start something, and before you know it, you got a mess on your hands. So what do? Choose your words wisely, and make sure your speech is always seasoned with grace. The beginning of strife is the one letting out water. Therefore, leave off contention. Don't go down that road before it meddleth with. You know, God has all these nuggets. Turn back over here to Isaiah here just for a moment here. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 16, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment, justice. Relieve the oppressed, those that are having a hard time. Judge the fatherless, the weak ones in society. Plead for their widows. Plead for the widows, those that have no one defend them. Verse 18, come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They'll be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. How do you know you're a new Christian, a new believer in Christ, a new creation? Your life has changed. God says, I'm reasoning with you. This is what I expect from you. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, it shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, we as your people, we do want to live a Christian life that honors you, Lord, that we would wash ourselves, God, in all these different areas, Lord, that we can be strong in our faith and strong as believers, God. Father, this world is washing over us and contaminating us in so many different ways. But God, may we wash ourselves clean, God, and be clean before you as your vessel. Father, you're a holy and righteous God. In eternity, Lord, the angels cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And Father, help us this week and this year as believers that we would wash ourselves continually. We'll be vessels of honor, fit and ready for the Master's use. And Lord, help us toward this end, that we would see things the way you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.